everybody. I'm going to sing and do some power skips today. Chase away the darkness out of my life. Give me new life in Christ. I won't allow Satan in my life. Chase away the darkness out of my life. Give me new life in Christ. I won't allow Satan in my life. Give me new life in Christ. I won't allow Satan in my life. And then have one more, two more songs. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for all you do. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for all that you do. And then have one more. What was it again? Oh, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the peace of Jesus in my heart. And now I've just got two power skips. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Come into my heart and chase away my sin. Clean my heart up. And then Jesus can fill your heart with sunshine if you want him to. Bye.
So good morning, you guys out there. Good morning to you guys who are here with us in person. I want to, first I want to give a shout out to Miss Loreen, and I want to say thank you so much for the encouraging message that you sent. That was really a blessing to read, and thank you guys when y'all share encouraging things like that, okay? We beat each other up enough and tear each other down enough, okay? We don't as Christians, but this ministry gets a good beat down. So I want to tell y'all, when y'all are speaking the word of God and speaking encouragement, it's a true blessing, okay? So thank you, Miss Loreen, for the message that you sent. Miss Diane, I want to talk to you for a minute, and I want to thank you for something that you were requesting. She has a son who is deaf, and she was asking if we could do online some type of interpretation so that he could also watch and listen to our messages. And right now we don't have that capability, but there is nothing that is impossible for God, okay? So if you guys out there would join with us and pray for God to bring that about and to make that happen, we welcome that, okay? And we definitely, that would be able to reach more people also. So thank you for that question, for that suggestion, all right? Let's pray and believe God to do that. And I want to thank you, Miss Louise in the Netherlands. She sent an email, and she was sharing some of the logos, some of the sun worship, moon and star worship that we've been talking about, this idolatry that has to do with the mark of the beast. And I want to thank you, Miss Louise, for sending that. We're fixing to show what you sent me right now. So God bless you. Thank you for doing that. So we're going to get right into the message. This is still Mark of the Beast 666. This is part 14. There is going to be one more part, you guys, and that it's going to wrap up in the next part, okay? So one more, we'll be done with this. So today we're going to be talking mainly about the number 66 diamonds, Nike, and more sun worship. Okay, you have to remember all of the sun worship, all of the moon worship, all of these things that we've been pointing out, it all has to do with the mark of the beast. It's going to be having to do with who the beast is, where the beast comes from, and what are some of the possibilities for his mark, okay? That's what we've been building up through these all these messages and laying this foundation of what God's been showing me and I'm showing you guys, okay? So let's look at this first one. These are coming out of the Netherlands. And remember I told you guys, we're here in the United States, and we know what we see all the time. But you guys, wherever you are around this world, all of these things is in our world all around us. It's not just here in the United States. Because the Freemasons, the secret societies, the ones who are ruling the world right now for Satan, that's who they serve. They've bowed down to his kingdom and his system. They are the ones who've implemented all of these signs and logos and symbols, okay? And I'm not saying every single company or every single whatever had those intentions, but you look at the big corporations, you chase the money. When you follow the money, you're going to get down to Satan most of the time, okay? So let's look at this first one. It's called Bink Bank. And you see that little star? For me, it kind of reminded me of the little Walmart star, okay? So it's a little five-pointed star on there, and it looks innocent enough like it's just their logo. I'm sure if you took time to break down the letters, they send their secret messages to their other. It's just like their brotherhood, their fellowship. Just as we Christians have a brotherhood and fellowship around the world, you can run into a true Christian in the store and talk to them for a minute, and usually you'll feel the presence of Holy Spirit, and you know that's a brother or sister in Christ. Well, they have their fellowship as well, and they like to speak through their logos. They speak through numbers, signs, dates, logos, all of it. It's so much, okay? Let's look at the next one, Netherlands. You know I don't speak this language, Vereniging, Van Banken. Okay, so look at that logo. It's got the one circle, the little that stands out by itself. Then it has all these other ones, and it has this little half, you know, that could be like a half moon. This is sun and moon worship. And remember, they worship the constellations, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the things that were in the sky. Remember when those fallen angels came down and they were worshipped as Mercury, Venus, you know, all of these things, Aries, Pluto, I mean, Jupiter. That's where all this is coming from, okay? Look at the next one. This one was interesting that she sent, Rabobank or Rabobank. Now, first off, when you look at the name of that bank, the very first two letters, I say Ra, but I believe it's pronounced Ray, but it stands for the sun god out of Egypt. It's who that stands for. So look, there's a disc, the sun disc, and in the middle of it, you see the eight-pointed star. They both are represented also by stars, and I always feel like she's been represented more by the eight-pointed star than he. But they both, remember that duality where they both have been represented by stars. And it don't matter how many points because you're going to find them all in the occult. Okay, all different points. Look at this next one. She said all of these first ones are from banks. Real or real, however you say that. And plain as day, in the little circle over here, you see there's, well, first of all, in the name, look at those two A's. You see the two pyramids right in the middle of the A's? That's what A's are used a lot in names and in their symbolism because they have those little triangles in them. The Masons also like to do something else with the A's that you can look for out there. When you see the A, and instead of the middle bar going straight across, sometimes they like to dip it down. And we think it's just being like stylized or, you know, fancy or creative. They know what that dip in the middle. Remember, Freemasons have the compass and they have the square. And you can see that in an A that is stylized like that. Now, these A's aren't, but you can see the triangles there. Also, when you look at the star, you see the star right there. It's kind of like a three-dimensional star puffed out. But look at how they've shattered that, and everything in that is triangles. Remember, triangles and pyramids, that's all about sun worship. That's why they do that triangle over their eye, because that's the God that they're serving and worshiping, okay? That's what it's coming down to in Revelation. That's what this whole Mark of the Beast message series has been about. And, you know, we've learned so much about this idolatry that they did from the get-go, ever since the time of Nimrod, doing his rebellion against God and trying to have his one world order in that Tower of Babel. And we see that this idolatry didn't go anywhere. You can look around wherever you're at, wherever you live, and you can see this stuff so clear, so plain. The bigger the corporation, you are definitely going to run into it. And like we showed, it's in the military, it's in the government, it's in the corporations, it's in what we call Hollywood. And if you break down Holly and Wood, you're going to find out the true meaning of that. That has went right over most of our heads. It ties right into Christmas, which is worshiping the sun god, Nimrod. And with the holly, that has to do with fertility. That has to do with rituals of sexual perversion. And wood, I'm sure you can piece that together. And you've got Hollywood, which is a sick, sick society. All the things that we've learned that they've done to the little kids that they have broken in that industry, and then they grow them up. You could look at like Miley Cyrus, and she seemed to start out pure and wholesome, and then she took that turn. You can look at Britney Spears, pure and wholesome, took that turn. Justin Timberlake, all of them. That's what they do to these little kids, and then they break them and shatter them, and they keep using them, and they've been cloned. We'll be surprised to find out who is really still alive in that industry and who isn't, as well as our top government. I know for me, I can kind of get in my own little day-to-day life, and I'm not rubbing elbows with the presidents and with the top echelon, so to speak. And you fade away from some of that, and you start forgetting about the cloning and the reptilians and that stuff. It is alive and well and thriving on this planet. And if you haven't dug into that stuff, you need to. It's happening more and more right out in the open, the shape shifting and the cloning. They don't even care anymore because most people haven't caught on to it and haven't realized it at all. And this is what they do. They go into rehab and then they come out. Oh, they look totally different. Well, they're just all refreshed and maybe they had a little touch-up work done. Yeah, no, it's a different model of that same person, and we've just bought their lies. And some of them, it's like, whoa, you got some really bad plastic surgery done. Yeah, I mean, they're starting to break down. They're starting to, they're clone. You're copying, you know, all the way down. They're not ever going to be as good as the original, okay? And it's a shame to say those people sold themselves out. They went off on a tangent, but there it is. Okay, Triodos Bank. Now, you guys remember when I was teaching about from Gail Ripplinger on the different versions of the Bible, and she was bringing out openly how they have these things, and they call them a Mobius, and how they've hidden 666 in there. That's what this one has, just like Google Chrome, where they have that circle in the middle, and they have those three colors, and that's where your 666s are spinning around that circle. This is the same thing. It's like a ball, like a little ball of snakes, but there are sixes in there, three of them, okay? That's all for sun worship, Nimrod worship, Antichrist worship. Philips, now I think everybody's probably familiar with this one around the world because we know Philips is the company that light bulbs and lighting, that's what they do. Okay, when you look at the ball there, okay, you're like, well, that could be the mother goddess, okay, with stars. Could also be for the sun god. It could be for either one. It could be duality, right? The stripes in the middle, I studied in on the stripes. Swooshes and stripes and things that they put in everything. And I didn't dig down real deep and real hard on that one. But what I got just off of the surface of it was, those are like little stylized snakes. When you see these little swooshes, that's their way of putting the little snake in. Remember that the snake also stands for sun worship. This next one she sent, polity or polite. That's for the police, okay? This is coming from the Netherlands. When you look at this one, many times, remember, they are playing both sides of the system, so to speak. Remember, like we all feel like, I know Scott really likes him. I like him too. Trump, a lot better than what we've had, right? And much better than the other option, Hillary, okay? Now, that being said, I still believe he's part of the Illuminati and he's still playing the game. He's a player on the stage. His role that he's playing right now is like the savior. He's going to bring change. He's going to play hardball. He's going to whip this stuff back into shape. We're going to be honored again as a country and all these things, right? And there's many people that believe God's going to use him like he did Osiris to let the Jews go back to their homeland. Well, I don't see any of us trying to go back anywhere. And so he was blessing the Jews because they'd already served their sentence of 70 years. And he used Cyrus to send them back. So it's not exactly the same thing, you guys. America hasn't humbled herself. You can look at the TV for a minute. You can look around and you can see that there's some of us crying out to God, yes, but on the majority, he's still not in the schools. He's still not in the government. And anybody can stand and say they're Christian. You got to look for the fruit, y'all. We're going to get into some of Trump's fruit next week. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but you guys got to have eyes to see, okay? Now, so what I'm saying about these police, they have the Republican Party. They have the Democratic Party. They are both sides. Remember the black and white? Remember the duality? Remember the good versus evil? So right now, as far as Christians are concerned, Trump's playing the good role. Hillary was the evil role, right? It's that kind of, whew, we got him instead of her. The end result for the Illuminati is going to be the same, okay? They might throw us a bone here and there. That's what they do. They want us to keep playing with them. It ain't no fun if you don't want to keep playing the game, right? Listen to this. It's the same thing with the good cop, bad cop. You've heard that on the movies and stuff. We have good police who are true and honest and doing their job, and we have bad police who are on the take, who are part of the Brotherhood of Masons, who will look the other way, who were in on it, who were taken and participating in the acts. So you've got that duality. On this emblem, those flames, and they have it in two places. It's cutting into that O, and the O is dropped down. I'm sure there's symbolism there. I didn't dig that part out. But these flames, I want to tell you, you'll see these flames on a lot of so-called Christian organizations also. And we Christians have been made to believe that that's for the Holy Spirit. That's for our God is an all-consuming fire. And the Holy Spirit is usually in the form of wind, fire, water, right? And so that's what we've been made to believe. But look at that. Isn't that swooshes? Couldn't that be? Not only they're little snakes, but also they like to believe that Lucifer is the light bringer. He's the illuminator. Remember when you see Baphomet, the goat thing with his boobs and his other, and he's got his horns going up. He's got his ears flopping over because he does the pentagram, right? Also, sometimes you see he's got a torch coming out of the top of his head. Okay, that's because he's supposed to be the light bringer, the illuminator. And also, that has to do with these people that are trying to open their third eye. That's what that torch is symbolizing for them. If you get around somebody in New Age, they'll start trying to twist this Bible. I've had some of them try to do it to me and saying, well, that's what Jesus was talking about, that the eye is the window, because it didn't say the eyes are the window to the soul. They hone in on any scripture that's got eyes singular, and they try to make it be about their God and about New Age, and that's where you have to say, you are twisting scripture and you're not rightly dividing it, okay? But that's what that illumination, you'll see some of those, if you look for it, pictures of people doing yoga where they're sitting there and it'll show the chakras. It'll show those coming right up their spine. And then sometimes coming out of their head, it'll be like light beams or all this kind of stuff. That's what all this is about. And that's all standing for Lucifer being the one to illuminate and enlighten them, to take them like in their above their subconscious to reach those new levels and states. And that's why they try to meditate and do all this stuff and get the snake to crawl up their spine and tap that third eye and enlighten them. That's all satanic. None of that is of God. Okay? He called us away from all of that. We're not to be involved in any of that. And we are going to be stepping on some toes in a few weeks. I was sharing with Miss Pat and Miss Josie about God speaking to me about the music that's being played in Christian churches around the world. Well, he spoke to this old gal, and guess what my job is? If I got to learn it, y'all got to learn it. So we're going to get into it, and it's deep, y'all. So let's look at this next one, because we have to remember that Donald Marshall, he talked about the so-called Christians at the cloning center doing what they do. Those aren't Christians, okay? We talked, I think it was last week, about the guy Jim Shaw, who wrote the book about being initiated up to the 33rd degree in Freemasonry in Washington, D.C., and there was a top evangelist, and I threw him under the bus, Billy Graham, and I did tell you guys that whoever made the call to his office, they publicly are saying that he has renounced it and has nothing to do with it, so that's neither here nor there. That's all I got to put it out there for y'all, okay? So, and Donald says that there are people that are high up in the Christian so-called organization that are at the cloning centers participating in everything that they're doing there. So when we look at this next logo, she shared with me, she said, this is the largest Dutch Protestant church. That right there is sun worship. Now, if we were looking at it and we didn't know about all this idolatry that still continued on, we'd be like, oh, you know, the sun, well, that's like God's glory, and that, right? And you just make stuff up to make it fit, and that's what people have been doing. And then there's the dove, oh, you know, Holy Spirit. And then that's how they get around us and have the laugh on us, because it's like, look at our bold symbol right there, and you think it's all about this God, God the Father. Where they're like, it's about that God, the one that they bow down to, okay? I want to remind you, it's ridiculous. You can't outrun this occultic stuff in our world, because they have, like Scott says, they have grabbed onto every single little thing, every number, they've tried to taint it, every color, every anything. You almost can dig into it and find something behind it that they are, you know, saying this is what it is, right? As a Christian, you can't let that stuff bother you when your heart is on him. And like, say I wore a black and white shirt a few weeks ago, and I know they use that stuff in breaking TIs, doing their torturing that they do, and that's duality and this and that. But you know what? It happened to fit me, and I thought it looked okay on me, and I'm a Christian, and I ain't going to let no colors dictate what I do and don't do. So I wore the shirt, right? But now, at the same token, I'm not going to go buy a T-shirt with Baphomet on it and knowing that my heart is on God. Why would I do that? Okay, so there's some stuff you can straight up know, and then there's other stuff you're like, that don't mean nothing to me. It's a pretty shirt. I'm going to wear it, okay? So some of the symbols for the sun god worship that have been going on since Nimrod, since Egypt, since Babylon, and still continue today, are the snake. We brought that out. I did a whole message just on the snake and how they worship that and how it represents the sun god. The bull, okay, that one that represents Merrill Lynch up on Wall Street. I posed with that thing a long time ago before I knew any better, right? And they think that's funny. Everybody's up there taking pictures with that thing. That's Nimrod. Red Bull, Nimrod, all of that stuff. And we haven't realized. Chicago Bulls, same thing. Same thing, because they're doing it with all of our sports teams. Remember I brought out about the Saints, I think, has the Florida League. That thing stands for the False Trinity. So, okay, the snake, the bull, the sun, of course, the pyramids, the X, like a, you know, X is like a cross, but it's leaning. And that was what stood for, it's Tav for the Lord God Almighty, but it stands for T for Tammuz. And see, he's trying to take and mock and mimic and defile everything that's holy to the Lord, okay? Because the cross used to be like this, and then over the years and the ages, then it became upright, okay? But the in Hebrew, it's still over there slanted. So all of those things represent sun god worship, and they were and they still are images of sun worship in our society today. It never stopped. It never went anywhere. It never, even though God released them back out of the land of Babylon, it was just like they were in Egypt. They brought that stuff still with them, okay? And it's never gone anywhere. Now, I pulled this up because Miss Alicia that comes here, I don't know, some weeks back, she was mentioning Nike. And I cannot keep these false gods and goddesses straight. I'll tell you something. I'm not no occult expert. I'm only touching on the stuff that God has me studying to reveal. I'm not going in somewhere undercover and trying to crack open all of their junk, okay? But what God is showing me, I am going to bring forward to us because we need to know. We're supposed to know what's going on in the world around us. We're supposed to be able to tell other people, get out of it. If you don't know nothing about it, I know people that think Freemasonry is a good thing. You see? If you don't get educated about it, to know the truth of it, they've twisted scriptures and they have people on the low level sitting there thinking they have already aligned with something holy and good. You've got to know. And Paul said that we're not to be ignorant of the devices of the devil. So let's come out of some of this ignorance, okay? Myself included. Look at this shoe, okay? This is the Nike swoosh. That's what I call it. I used to think it was a check mark, right? Just do it. Okay, it has several meanings. It is to represent the rings around Saturn. I'm going to show you that one in a more visual image that we can get in a minute. It's to represent the wings on the goddess Nike. Now, I thought Nike was a guy, a male god, you know, one of their fallen angels that they serve. But no, it turned out it's a woman. So I was like, well, my goodness, I can't keep it straight. That Nike goddess is the same thing as Semiramis, same thing that our Bible calls the Queen of Heaven, and not in a good way. We don't have no queen in heaven. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? And those three are one. So notice on this shoe, when you look up on the part that comes up around your upper leg or lower leg, there's a basketball, and it has wings around it. Last week, we talked about those sun discs with wings, that was Tammuz in his warrior form. There it is. And they just put a little bit of basketball striping on it, right? That's the same thing. That's sun worship right there. And those wings for deity, that represented the outreach of that person that was being worshipped and all those people under their wings. And if you're a Christian, you know that God has like the eagle. He's like a great eagle, and he's wanting to protect us on his wings. And like Jesus said, as a chicken would nurture her chicks, a mother hen, and you would not, talking to Israel, they wouldn't come to him. So that's what we're seeing there with those wings. Look at this shoe. This is where you can see on the bottom of a Nike shoe, this one has a planet, Saturn, and we know it's Saturn because see how that, what I keep thinking of as a check mark, which is a swoosh to the Illuminati, see how it's wrapping around that planet and it just kind of looks like that for like the angle, looking fatter on this end and skinnier as it goes out? That's the same thing, that's sun worship. And the way that little pegs on the shoe are, somebody was saying those are little five-pointed stars all around it. And this is nothing more than the same thing, worshiping the sun, moon, and the stars. Nike was a winged goddess. See how those wings are hanging? See how they put those little swishes so you can kind of see? That's what that's really alluding to, was her wings. You're really going to see it in this next picture. This is one that I pulled of her offline. This big corporation, Nike, is named for nothing more than straight up idolatry, to worship this goddess, Nike. And she's the same one as Ashtoreth, and God calls, remember Ashtoreth, the Asherah groves, they were always by those altars of Baal, because when you find him, you're usually going to find her, you're usually going to find them together. And you're really going to find them together. You want to know where he's at in this picture? Well, there he is right there in her hand, and she's lifting him up. You see those laurel, that laurel wreath crown that she's holding? The sun god would wear that and has worn that. And we're going to really tap on that next week. We're going to bring that out, okay? Look at this next one. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about this one last night. And it's so neat how God works, because this morning while I was getting ready on whatever I was listening to on the TV, a Christian program station, they were talking about Baal and the beast. And not this cartoon either. And I was like, wow, Lord, I hear you. I see you speaking. So look at this cartoon. Don't they just love to put their worship right out in the open? Just like even the little kids are not untouched, right? They have been sending messages to them and grooming them and programming them. Now, there's different forms of this programming, right? You think, well, my kid's just watching innocent TV. That's one thing, but there are kids who have been shattered and broken and molested and raped and these different things, and these shows have been used to put in programming cues in them so that for that kid who's broken and programmed to that degree, when they walk by a TV or they see something like this, it can program, it can cue them to go and do something that they've been programmed to do. Now, most of your kids are just sitting there watching this sick, demonic stuff. And you better believe there are demonic things riding those airwaves, what's going into their little eyes and what's going into their little ears on those frequencies. So, but here we are right here. This cartoon is made by Disney. If you guys do not know about Disney yet, Walt Disney was a big Freemason, okay? He was not about loving kids the right way. Oh, he was about showing some perverted love. That's what Satan does, pedophilia, perversion, okay? So Walt Disney, and no, Disneyland, Disney World is not a good place to go and spend your money. And God is watching. What do you worship? What are you spending your time on? Where are you spending your money at? Are you giving your money to bow down to Satan's system? Yes, I've been to whatever the one is in Florida when I didn't know any better. Once God woke me up, too bad for Kennedy, because we ain't going there. God's going to have something better than this world could ever provide. She may feel deprived, or people might make her feel that way for not getting to go there because your mama's too hardcore or whatever. God has great rewards when you pass up the junk that this world offers. So he was a Freemason, heavily involved in using the programs and the things that they put out. They put all kind of satanic messages in these shows. You ought to go back to the Nephilim series when I was talking about Obama and he was cracking little jokes about his birth certificate, and he showed that one with that Lion King, and we broke that down, what was really happening there with the priest, and with that was Nimrod and Tammuz. The papa was Nimrod, the baby was Tammuz, and it was being that when it was broke open and lifted up to the sun worship right in front of our faces, and we haven't even known it. That's what they do. And they sit back and laugh and think it's funny when the ratings and the money comes in, because we're all running to it and taking our kids to it. So this one here, think about it. Her name is Baal. All right, I know the proper pronunciation may be Baal, but there's many people that still say Baal. And they know it. And then here's the beast. And he's got horns. He's got the ears and the horns. And well, look at him. And what does this is what the Lord was pointing out to me this morning, because I was saying, Lord, there's something more here that you want me to bring out. But I was tired and it was late and I went on to bed. I want y'all to see how God will talk to you. He will answer your prayers when you need to know. So this morning, I forgot all about that, right? I was going to go with what I had and I wasn't going to worry about it. But then God put that on the TV and he wanted it to resurface on my mind and he wanted to show me. When they were talking about that on TV, what did this beast want? What did this beast need to become human, to transform? Because really, that's also a picture of hybridization, because he was a beast. And at the end of it, isn't he a human? Oh, a handsome prince. He needed her love, didn't he? Who else do we know that's fighting for our worship and our love? You got that right, Satan. He wants us to bow down and love him. He wants to take that love away from the Lord God Almighty, okay, so that he can appear to be this handsome prince and snag us in his trap. This is right here. This is, I'm telling you, Baal. This is sun god worship. And it's presented in a nice little charming children's cartoon. You got Baal, the very name of the sun god, that Baal worship that they were doing all through the Bible and still continues today, as well as the beast. Think about Antichrist with these horns. Who's going to empower him? Satan is going to enter him just like he did, what's his fate? Judas. Couldn't think of his name for a minute. Who betrayed Jesus. 66. And you know what? They don't care that this stops short of 666. They will take the number 6 in any form they can get it. They like that number. The number 6 is the number of man, okay? Because the number 7 is God's number. That's the number of perfection, wholeness, completion, okay? When you look at this 66, I did some research on this, and their sick little world, they believe there are 66 fallen angels. The Masons have 66 laws or bylaws. There's a book written about that. It's called The 66 Laws of the Illuminati. They manipulate numbers to get their occult meaning. Like if you take that 6 times 6, you get 36. And then that is 3 sixes. See how ridiculous they are? And I'm just... oh, I get so tired of the junk that they do. But they're speaking to each other. They like seeing that sign. Okay? They know that that company right there, they know who that company worships and stands for. And it is interesting that there are 66 books in the Bible. Because I have people say that. Well, that's satanic. That's their Bible. That's their... well, we happen to know they took the book of Enoch out. I'll throw that one out there, and we would have had 67 if they'd have left it in. And that ain't the only one they took out. They have been manipulating things as far as what they're going to leave in, what they're going to pull out, okay? God does protect his word. We have access to the book of Enoch, okay? And some people don't even know about books outside the Bible. But you always pray and be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? In any of that. And you always ask for understanding when you're reading God's word, okay? From research on the Masons, the number 66 is the occult number. Listen to this. This is a powerful statement. It is the occult number for the perfect government. So 66 is their little number that they believe represents the perfect government of the perfect man who is represented by the number 666. We know when you read Revelation and you go into chapter 13, we know that the person whose number is 666 is no more than the Antichrist. And they are calling him, that's the number of the perfect man. 66, they believe, is the perfect government. That's New World Order. 666 stands for the perfect man. To them, to us, he's Antichrist. And they've been brainwashed in this stuff and I mean, brought up in this stuff. And that was pretty strong when I was realizing that they're calling him the perfect man. Look at this next one. Mr. Billy here, a few weeks back, we went to a place for Kennedy's basketball league was wrapping up, and they had a get-together for all the kids and parents to go. And at that place, Incredible Pizza, they had this Route 66. They had like a little fake ice rink and like a car scenery painted, and they had Route 66 there. You look over next to it, what was it, bowling? Little miniature bowling or bowling? And they had 66 up there. Okay. So now we know what they believe 66 stands for. This is in the United States, and it shows the route, the original Route 66, and the states that it crosses and goes through. And they call it Historic Route 66. This is a book that was written. What they don't want you to know, you see the skull and bones, you see the pyramid, you know, all of that stuff. They say inside secret societies. This that I'm fixing to read you is taken from this book. You've heard that song, you've heard of Get Your Kicks on Route 66. The story goes that the road was built along Freemason specifications and was filled with symbolism, and we've been bringing that out. Washington, D.C. is sitting, or the Capitol is sitting right inside a huge owl that stands for Moloch, and it also stands for Ashtoreth. It's Bel and Semiramis. Both of them are represented by the owl. Okay, we learned that they designed streets and different things from aerial views to be in the form of pentagrams. They are laying out their monuments. They measure the specific height of things. They line things up around the world. It's all to bring in more satanic power. It's about portals. It's about what Satan says. If you do this, this, and this, I'll bring more demonic power. I'll bless you with more occult power. That's what it's all about, worshiping their God. Okay, so we know that sounds true about the highway being built with their specifications, because that's what they do. And then filling it with symbolism. The route from Chicago, Illinois to Barstow, California followed a road construction in 1857 by Lieutenant Edward Beale and the U.S. Camel Corps, which in turn followed an ancient trail, listen to this, known as Jornada del Muerto, the journey of death. And you think they don't have curses, and they don't pray curses into things, and they don't set things up specifically for things to happen? Now, I wouldn't be superstitious about that whole thing, but there's plenty of people in this world that are, that will believe into that stuff. And that's when you're believing and worried about all that junk, Satan knows he's got you. When you're scared to wear a black and white shirt, ha-ha, he's got you on the run. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Look at this next one. Some people are saying, this is for Volkswagen, since the Mandela effect happened, I'm still calling it Mandela. Some people are trying to call it the quantum effect of this or that. Well, it took off with Mandela's name on it, so there you go. This split right here in the middle that's making that little part up top be a V and the rest of it be a W, some people are saying that little split, that cut line, was never there. Okay? In Hebrew, the V and the W are represented by the number 6. So when you look at this emblem, you can see that if you have a V, it's a 6. If you have a W, it's a 6. That right there is 66. Now I want to show you something more. It can also be, when you look at that W, isn't a W no more than two V's put together? And so then you got 666. You see that? And also duality. Remember how I told you, not only do they like duality, good, bad, negative, positive, black, white, all, you know, as above, so below, all of that. They like as much meaning and perversion as they can put into a symbol or into anything. And you can see all of this in this logo right here. And I want to tell you, I've said it before, the Bible says that an unstable man, or a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. That's James 1:8. God doesn't want us being all confused and trying to figure all this coding system and whatever out that they've created. He wants you to be steady. He wants you to be firm and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay? Walk the path, the straight path, not the crooked one, the straight path. Jesus said, enter in at the narrow path, and few there are that find it to enter in at the narrow gate, okay? Look at this next one, Viacom. And I know as you guys start learning, because we've been hitting this really hard in this series, when you start seeing stuff and you start going around for your appointments and your business dealings and things, you're going to start seeing this stuff. We can't unplug from the world. We live in the world, okay? We can't just not do business and things with these different companies. But like I said, you don't have to go out and buy the Baphomet t-shirt. There's some stuff you can still put your foot down and avoid it, right? The other stuff God knows, and Holy Spirit is protecting you when you keep your heart and your mind focused on Jesus Christ, okay? Look at this Viacom. There's two V's there, and you can see the 66. You can also see for pyramids, you know, they like to do this. Just because there ain't a line there don't mean they don't fill in the line and know what that would be if you did draw it in there. So you've got triangles, pyramids. You got the 66 above, so as above, so below. Look at the M. Isn't the M just like the W? It's duality too. Because what else do they like to do? They like to flip stuff upside down. And in this case, right side up. They like to flip stuff backwards. They don't care how they have to get their messages hidden. They don't care which way you have to turn it or flip it. They see it. Right off, they know. They like that number M. That M stands for a lot. Upside down, it's two V's. It's pyramids. It's triangles. It's all about sun worship. It also represents the number 13. Okay, that's one of their sacred numbers, as there are 13 Illuminati bloodline families. Also, M for Mason. M for Master. This is what they see when they see this, okay? Look at this next one. This is for the voice. And you remember we've all thought that was the peace sign, right? Now, they took that over. They implemented that one. And we all thought it was peace, love, and all of this. No. You see the V there, and you see the V with the voice. So you got 66. You see the sun rays spiraling out? Sun worship. And you can see those little glitter, like the stars shining around that hand? You got the sun and the stars right there. And let me tell you something else. Kennedy even did a little message on this one time about those hand signs for Satan. When you see that V, that's when they're talking to each other also. And if you're a Christian and you don't know, and because everybody's doing this, all the time, we got to throw up the, right? Yeah, and they're laughing at you because they know what this means, the nail. Who likes to be called the nail? Satan. Because he likes to think he nailed Jesus to that cross. Okay? That's one of his nicknames. That ain't talking about peace. Okay? That's where you got to start getting some discernment. You got to start looking at the person and you got to know what, you know, what does that person stand for? What does their fruit show me? What is it? You know what I mean? And like Miss Pat was saying, being a good person ain't going to cut it. There's a lot of people in this world saying, I'm a good person. Scott and I used to do the same thing. He used to be, when I, you know, bring up church, where he'd be like, well, I'm a good person. Well, we were good person in ourselves right straight to hell. Okay, if we could just be good people and go to heaven, Jesus would have never had to die on that cross. You know, then we make a mockery of what Jesus did on the cross. If we said, I'm a good person, don't need what you did. You crazy, going all, doing all what you did on the Golgotha's hill. Can you imagine? That's what you're saying when you're going, I'm a good person. You're telling Jesus, no thanks, didn't need none of that, bruh. You crazy. Come on, y'all. Okay, so you can see all that right there in the voice, what they got going on with their V's and their sun rays and stars and all this. Okay, we're going to get on to CNN. Look at good old CNN. And I want to tell you, these are supposed to be two N's. But once your eyes are opened, it's hard for me to find the ends in this thing, okay? That looks like a W leaning that way. Yeah, like it's leaning the wrong way, right? Looks like a W to me. And we already know a W stands for a 6. And we already know if you break a W down, you got two V's, and that's 66. So either way, you got 66, or if you want the whole enchilada, you got 666, okay? Now, if you flip it upside down, you got a bonus. You got an M for the 13 bloodlines, for the mason, for the master mason, for the master, for the... This is ridiculous, okay? And yet when they see that, they're seeing all of that. That's what they're seeing. Somebody told me it stands for Clinton News Network. I believe that too. They're cloned up and loaded up right up in the Illuminati, just as big as day as anything, okay? All right, and I want to tell you something I like about Trump right now. He is flat out calling out some fake news. And guess what? He's calling out CNN, and whatever he held the other day, the dude with CNN, he finally told him, shut up. You are fake news. I mean, even if he's a game player, that was a pretty good little burn, okay? Now, he's calling out fake TV because I got people that come on my Facebook page and they think you're crazy. If you say something was a hoax or you say something was a false flag because they don't know what that is, they think you're being heartless and cruel because they're not awake. They don't know that what they're watching on TV is bought and paid for and it's played out by actors and it's fake news. And Trump, he's up there telling the truth and people probably think, he's crazy trying to say CNN is faking a... Come on, y'all. And they like that too. They like it when they can say the truth and you don't even believe it. It's okay. And we got to pray that more people wake up and start speaking this truth. Because everybody on YouTube, that's where you go and you'll find some hardcore truth. The things I'm preaching and teaching, you don't find in the churches. You'll find it on YouTube. You'll find it through the truthers out there that are sharing it and trying to wake people up. Why can't you find this stuff in the church? The church used to be the place that would bring you the news. Not anymore. Okay, so, and that's what I was wanting to tell you too. They play both sides. Remember, they have the mafia and they have the CIA. We think the CIA is good and we think the mafia is bad and they're really the same thing. It's just you go into the dressing room and you're like, which one do I get to be? And they go, you mafia and you CIA, and they go have lunch together. Seriously. Come on now. And we know CIA's running the drugs and all that. So they're in control of both factions, okay? Remember, they create the problem so that we, the people, will cry out for a solution. And it's what they wanted all along. So they did this over here so we would cry out for whatever and then they could do what they wanted to do and we'd be on board with it, right? That's part of what they also did with 9/11 when they pulled them towers down. All of a sudden, we're not secure. Well, we want to implement all this junk at the airports. And then it's like, okay, we got to be safe. They got that little maneuver done. And all that's just tracking and that's what they're doing, okay? Putting their systems in place. So they also like to, I guess fear factor just came to me. When they do a lot of that mind control stuff and they'll put them in pits with snakes and different things to scare and terrorize them, that's also to get their adrenaline flowing so that they can collect their adrenochrome, which they call loosh, and they feed off of that when they take their blood out, when you've been at that heightened state of fear and they feed off of that. They do that stuff. Didn't they roll out Fear Factor showing us part of what they do? Where it's like the person wants all this money and these people that are sold out to the Illuminati want all this money. So it's like, okay, what are you willing to do? Will you get in here in this glass cage and be in there for however long with snakes? Well, can I blend up spiders and you drink them? And you see that? And you see all them people on TV going, okay, I'll drink them. I'll hold my nose and I'll just get through it. They're doing all that sadistic, horrible stuff for money. That's what they do in the cult. It's what they do in the Illuminati. Except those people, they break them down and shatter them. Yeah, you want to be a big famous actress or whatever? Then we're going to have you sleep with some people that you normally wouldn't sleep with. We're going to do perversion on you. It's horrible stuff, okay? That's what the Illuminati does. Look at this one for Vodafone. Now, this isn't too hidden. See the big O in the top? You see that 6 right there. You look at the word, and you see 2 more 6s. So you've got 666. They're putting it out there. They're communicating with each other. And now we've got to understand what they're doing. Look at the next one, MasterCard. And they said, who is your master? Remember, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. This one says it all as well. That is all about sun worship. Look at the next one. Now, this is a worldwide emblem for all of us. This is the logo of the UN. Now, remember I said those laurel leaves that the goddess Nike was holding up earlier was for Apollo, the sun god? Do you see those laurel leaves wrapping around this UN representing the whole world? The whole world is resting right there between these laurel leaves of the sun god, Nimrod, Satan, worship. So if you want to look at this, like we've talked about that little torch a while ago, about the light bringer, the illuminator and all that, let's look at that for a minute and see how come the sun is equated with all of this idolatry and all this worship, okay? That's what the occult believes. The sun equals light, right? Illumination. And to them, that equals Lucifer. Lucifer, the meaning of that, is another name for Satan, the planet Venus, when it rises in the morning. Listen to this definition that I pulled. It says, Lucifer is the King James Version rendering of the Hebrew word, and they give it in Hebrew, which I can't read that, but that's in Isaiah 14:12. So Lucifer is Latin for what they show in the King James, and it's only mentioned in that one place in Isaiah 14:12. Okay, the Vulgate, which normally you hear the Latin Vulgate because it's written in Latin, translation uses the Latin word Lucifer, but with a lowercase initial, and I'm surprised they even put a lowercase anything on it. The Hebrew word transliterated Hallel or Hallel occurs once in the Hebrew Bible, and according to the King James Version of Strong's Concordance, it means shining one or light bearer. The Septuagint renders that in Greek as Heosphoros. That name literally means bringer of dawn for the morning star. The word Lucifer is taken from the Latin Vulgate, which translates as Lucifer, meaning the morning star, the planet Venus, or as an adjective, light bringing. All of these things they equate with Lucifer. I will tell you that in my studies, I have not found where God called Lucifer a star. I have not found where he called him the morning star. Okay? When you study into the word he used, and you can find the word he uses for star, if you go into the Hebrew and you study in the book of Job, and you'll see what word God used for stars. He knows the word for star. You know, he's not up there confused and wrote it all wrong and no. When you look at Isaiah 14:12, it says, how art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, which why they put that in Latin, who knows, son of the morning. It doesn't say morning star. How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, let's take a look at that Latin word, Lucifer, and see why he's being equated with a star. They're also bringing in confusion. Because now people are like, well, Lucifer is the morning star, but the Bible says Jesus is. So see how they're doing that? They're trying to mix them and get it all confused to where new baby Christians don't understand who's who and what's going on. When you look at Strong's 1966, they say it comes from 1984, Hallel, a shining one. The short definition is morning. When I go back and I look at everything, it said it came from 1984. Let's look at 1984 in the Strong's. Hallel, shine. And the short definition is shine. Also, this is another, when I looked it up, when I looked on Isaiah and I looked on that word for the morning, son of the morning, I had two different Strong's numbers pop up. So I looked at the other one too, 3213. Says yell out, to howl, make a howling, wail. Well, I thought that fit Satan. You know, I could see a goat going around doing his little thing, or in his wolf form howling at the moon. Okay, I could see that because I'm like, well, I don't know what that one has to do with shining because that's about wailing and howling. But many of the copyrighted Bibles, and remember, copyrighted Bibles meant that they took the King James Bible and they had to change, I think Gail Riplinger said, like 20% of it in order for it to be copyrighted. So they changed it. The NIV, the Living, all of these different translations have been changed and copyrighted off of the King James Version because it was the truest version that us English-speaking people had, okay? Still have. So, they are trying to equate him as being the morning star. Just know in their world, that's what they call him or refer to him as. The fallen star, all of this, okay? I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. When you guys look at Revelation 22:16, all the way over to the back of the Bible, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. What does that mean? That means he was the beginning, the root of something before it ever grew and bloomed and sprouted fruit or anything. Jesus was the root of David. And he was the offspring of David when he came and walked in the flesh. He was the one that was prophesied to come to take the sins of the world away. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, he's the one that would crush Satan's head. Okay? So, says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And I like how it doesn't say he's the bright morning star. It says he's the bright and morning star. So that's where they're getting it from. They want to mock and twist everything of God's word. So they're trying to say that Satan is a star, he's a shining star, a fallen star, the morning star. You guys seen those stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Who are those people worshiping? You can connect the dots, okay? And that's why you see stars through all their symbols and signs. And he also likes to be called the diamond. Remember I talked about Lucy in the sky with diamonds, Lucy. Is short for Lucifer. I think the Beatles wrote that song. And if you look at some of their stuff, they are flashing and throwing up the satanic hand signs left and right. And when you dig into different articles and magazines and stuff and hear what those guys really said, they weren't holding back about who they worshipped. We're the ones that try to act like, oh, but they were good. They were telling you who they worshipped. And we were trying to make them be good, and they didn't care. They were telling you straight up. So look at this next one. Here we got little Justin Bieber sporting one of Lucifer's signs. See that diamond on his little hat? Okay, and we know he's an Illuminati puppet. Look at this next one. Here we have Miley Cyrus, and she's sporting the logo as well. And see those triangles in this one? And all of that's about sun worship, and you know she's a puppet, okay? Now we got another one. This is just to show you and make a point. When you start seeing them wear these different type of clothing, they're not just being cool. They're also sending messages to each other. So here we got Jay-Z, and he's sporting a diamond, and he is, that's the same thing representing Satan to the elite. They know what that diamond means, okay? In closing, I want to bring out some scripture. I want to tell you, they want to say Satan is the enlightened one, the illuminator, the light bringer, the all of this, with the shining star. I want to read this, John 8:12. And we'll find out who really has the light. We just learned Jesus is the bright and morning star. In John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world, not Satan. If you want to be enlightened and illuminated, Jesus Christ is who you come to, okay? He is all light. There is no darkness in him. Revelation 2:26-28. Now, this is where Jesus was speaking to the churches. Okay, he spoke to the churches at the beginning of that book, and then he didn't speak to the churches anymore through the rest of the tribulation. Revelation 2, 26 through 28. And he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Now, we just read that Jesus is the bright and morning star. And Satan was never called the morning star. He was called Son of the Morning. Because he was created by Jesus, and he did start out in heaven. Okay? Till his pride got the best of him. So, think about it. This is a reward that Jesus is giving to the person who's endured and stayed fast and held true to Jesus Christ. He's not going to give that person Satan. That would make no sense. Satan ain't no reward. He ain't nobody's reward, okay? So, he is giving himself. He is giving himself something of himself, something that is special and precious to those that overcome. After Jesus speaks to the churches is when we see John go up to heaven. It's a picture of the church being called up by Jesus. That's a picture of the rapture, okay? I want to point out, you might say, well, who's an overcomer? Who's going to be able to overcome and keep Jesus' works? 1 John 5:4 tells us who an overcomer is and how to be one. For whatsoever is born of God, remember that when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, Jesus told him, you must first be born again. Whatsoever is born of God, you got to be born again. You got to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sins. Repent means stop doing your sins. Ask God to help you. Okay? When you call out on the name of Jesus Christ, that's when Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. So that's being born again. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You get people that, well, why don't you just prove God exists, right? You have to have faith. You know, you're more blessed for believing without seeing than you are for believing because you see. Okay? Revelation 4:1, and God will show you. He will show you over and over again that he's real, especially for you people that may be doubting and not sure. If you really call on him from a pure heart and you really want to know, and you're really struggling with that, and ask him to show you that he's real, he will. He will. Revelation 4:1, this is where the picture of the rapture, and John is speaking. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Jesus is the door. And the first voice which I heard, remember that was Jesus speaking to him and talking to the churches, giving those messages, right? So he said, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. Remember, you're going to have, when Jesus descends and meets us in the clouds, he's going to have with the trump of God. Isn't his voice the trump when he's speaking out in his voice? The sound of many waters, many oceans, okay? And the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. So he says, first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now, hereafter. See, after this I looked, and then after the end of that, Jesus said, hereafter. So after you come up here, picture the church going up, being called up by Jesus, he's the door, and the door was opened, and he's calling us up. Then he says, I'll show you what's going to happen after this, okay? So when you see that picture, and we just read about him saying, he that overcomes, I will give the morning star. The morning star comes first for the church and his bride, okay? Now let's see another time he's coming. Malachi 4:2. We talked about this last week. But unto you that fear my name, shall the sun, now this is S-U-N, like the sun in the sky shining, the sun of righteousness. shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And then that one that's talking about, that's still talking about Jesus, and we brought that out. And the Jesus, when he comes there, he's coming for Israel, and he's coming as the Son of Righteousness. Just as God refers to himself as an eagle, and we know Jesus is the bread of life, but we know God is not physically an eagle, and we know Jesus is not a loaf of bread. It's the same thing with this phrase, with this scripture right here. He's not that physical sun in the sky. Jesus created that sun in the sky. What God is doing in that scripture is showing all of those who've been worshiping that sun in the sky, my son is the Son of Righteousness. Okay, when you think about that sun symbolically, and God uses that kind of symbols and imagery in his word, when you think about that sun, isn't it like representing his glory, the brightness? You can't even stare into the sun, okay? His strength, his power, and his sovereignty. But he is not the sun. He created it. We're not to worship that ball in the sky, okay? But the occult is going to know full well. We bowed our knee and worshiped that, and behind that was Lucifer, saying he was the god of the sun, or he controlled the sun when Jesus Christ created that sun, okay? It's all been about bitterness. He got prideful, he got kicked out of heaven, and he wants to take as many people with him as he can. He wants to deceive everybody. Our world is filled up with all this occult symbolism and everything else. They're trying to open the portals. They're trying to open the gates. They're trying to bring more demonic power in. We have people, we have demons walking around in cloned bodies. We have reptilians walking around. And that sounds crazy for somebody to stand up here and say that, but it's true. We have all this stuff manifesting on this earth right now because it is right back at the days of Noah. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And we are right back there, you guys. And I pray that, you know, y'all can wake up to see this stuff. Next week, we're going to wrap this message up. We are really going to get into deep onto Apollo, the sun god. We're going to find out why these different theologians believe Nimrod is the Antichrist. That's what this whole thing has been building to, and we're going to show you where that 666 is coming from, okay? So it'll be the last one, the grand finale, okay? So let's pray, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the living word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God and is God. He came and walked among us in the flesh. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are that bright and morning star. You're the lily of the valley. You're the one, Lord Jesus, who walks on water. We praise your holy name. We ask you, Lord Jesus, bid us to come and walk on the water with you and help us to keep our eyes on you. We see by what happened with Peter and he fell. Help us to stay fixed on you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, it's easy to get upset with these people who bowed down to Satan, who went right into the world system. They want to be recognized. They want fame. They want money. They want honor. They can't wait. They couldn't wait on God. But Lord, we know while they are still alive, whoever of them is still alive, as long as they're still breathing, they still have a chance to call out to you, to ask for that salvation. And we as Christians, we're supposed to love what you love, Father, and hate what you hate. And what breaks your heart is supposed to break ours. And I know that you don't love seeing all these people doing these occultic things. The sacrificing, the drinking the blood, the having the rape and the molestation and the pedophilia and all of the things that's going on. You've never loved any of that. It hurts your heart. And we know because your word says that it's not your will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance so that we can have everlasting life. You never know. It could be your prayer out there that you pray for somebody like Oprah You pray for somebody like Obama. Pray for Trump. We don't know who's going to be the one that's going to do all the bad stuff. Obviously, the Antichrist and the false prophet, there's no redemption for them. But since we don't know, we got to pray for these bad, evil, wicked people, right? They're in deception. So we pray and we leave it up to God. The false prophet and the Antichrist, if you accidentally pray for them and you don't know it, that prayer just get bounced off. God ain't going to listen to entertain that junk. But everybody else, yeah, he's trying to reach the Oprahs of the world. He's trying to reach these people. He's trying to reach the people who haven't really come to him with a sincere heart. The people that are trapped up in this deception of Freemasonry, secret societies, even the people that are going to the cloning centers that aren't brave enough to stand up and say, even at the cost of my life, I stand against this and I stand for Jesus Christ. Donald Marshall stood up, but he didn't stand up for Jesus. So guess what? We got to pray for him because God can use him. He's already using him. But he can even use him even more powerfully when you come to him. So let's pray for these people. Dear Heavenly Father, for all these people, Lord, who've continued. They have their little secret book of knowledge. They have their little book of the dead. They have all these Egyptian writings and spells and witcheries and conjurings and things that they hold dear and precious, where they have their little meetings and they call on more demonic, satanic, occultic power. Father, we ask you to be slap dab in the middle of that whole situation, to draw their hearts to you by your Holy Spirit, pricking their hearts. And Heavenly Father, drawing them to Jesus Christ, give them eyes to see and give them ears to hear and give them a bold and courageous spirit to stand up no matter. They're not going to save their life unless they speak out for Jesus Christ. That's the only way they're going to have eternal life. And Father, we ask for your glory to come out of all these things, Lord. And really, when we look around, I know everybody out there is like me too. You get so sick of this junk. It's so ridiculous. And we wonder, where are you, Lord Jesus? Well, we want you to come. Come for your bride. We're ready to be with you. We want out of this sick system and this sick world. We know that Satan is the god of this world because Jesus has given him a time. His time is short and he's trying to wear out the saints. And he has but a short time, and he knows it. Father, while we're still here waiting on Jesus, waiting on your timing, help us to be strong in the power of your might. Help us, Father, to bust the gates of hell down and take those captives out. Help us to intercede and pray for them, Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to send your holy angels into these situations and cut and sever the ties of darkness off and out of their lives. Father, help us to bind Satan out of their lives. Whoever God lays on your heart, pray for them. Bind Satan off of them. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. Ask the Lord to draw them to salvation, to wake them up. Many times if you go through the day and somebody comes across your mind or your heart, that's the Lord saying, pray for this person. Lift them up in prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, I want to lift up to you for salvation Miss Kelly. Lord, she was bitter. Megan was working with her, and she's like, she's doing that whole thing. If he's a good God, then why is all this bad stuff happen? There's a lot of people saying that. They don't get it. You could make us all obey and make us all behave, and then we'd just be robots, but we have free will. We either choose to love you and serve you with a pure, obedient heart out of our free will, or we choose to walk against you. Jesus said, whoever's not walking with me is against me. We pray for Kelly's salvation. Lord, for healing, we want to lift up Miss Josie. We prayed for her, Lord, and we already know that you're at work and that her healing is manifesting in her body right now. And we just thank you for what you're doing in Miss Josie's life. Along with her, we lift up Miss Allison. She's young. She's 18, fighting a rare form of cancer. And I want to lift up Mark in Egypt. He's praying for his eyesight and his left limb to be restored. Father, we just lift them up to you. We know that Jesus when he provided for our salvation, our deliverance, it was a complete package. He took those stripes on his body and shed his blood, blood shed for the remission of sins. And the wounds that he took was so that we could be healed. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. And we speak healing in Jesus' name into everyone out there who's looking for healing, Father. For upcoming marriages, Lord, for Miss Mona and Mr. Mark who are engaged. And for Miss Jessica and Lucas who will be married today. Lord, we just pray your blessing and your favor on them, Heavenly Father. We pray that they would keep you first and foremost as the head of their marriages. Lord, for jobs, Miss Mona is facing a situation and she's looking for a job to come through for her, Lord, so that she doesn't have to give up or lose her retirement. And Lord, for Mr. Mark, Father, he sees a situation that his boss may be about to retire, and that means that he would be looking for a job. Lord, I ask you to keep your hand of favor on him. And Lord, to just lead the way. He's trusting in you and reaching out and looking to you, Father, to make a way. So we ask you to lead and guide him, Lord, and help him to turn to you with all the decisions that he makes in life. And we just ask for jobs for Mr. Mark, for Mona. We ask for everybody out there listening who's needing a job. Father, we pray that you make a way. Lord, that you open doors that no man can shut. And the ones that you don't want them going through, shut them, Father. And we give you praise for the man that comes here, Mr. David, for Miss Pat's family, that you restored his job, Father, and that you blessed him in that, Lord, and Dallas also, and Miss Josie's husband, I think, too, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you are providing for your children, that you bless us, Lord. When we put our trust in you. And Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, to continue to bless your children and meet the needs, Heavenly Father. Pour out more from your heavenly stores unto us, Father. Give us that blessing so great that we cannot retain it, Lord. And I know your word says when you bring the tithes into the storehouse, you pour out a blessing so great that we cannot even receive it in. It doesn't say blessings, it says a blessing. So, Father, help us to be obedient to you. We want your blessings and your hand of favor. Touch your children, Lord. I pray that everybody listening, that you will manifest yourself in a more prominent way in their lives. Erase any doubt that you exist and that you're real out of their lives. And show each one of your sheep and your lambs, Father, how to hear your voice and see you working in their lives, Lord. I pray for greater revelation for all of us, Father. In the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard.
He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay? They believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God. Okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay? God bless y'all.